This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. K-State fans, KU fans, I don't want you to feel like you have been left out this week in the conversation. Now, I know I care more about the Missouri game because I'm a Missouri fan, but our show has definitely shown love to the other two schools. I just want to let you guys in on my thought process. K-State, I think your football season is over. I think you guys have one game left. Are you guys going to keep the streak alive against KU? Last week when you had that game against Baylor, Rob, did we not cover that? Were we not on top of it? We were on top of that game. You guys lost again. We moved on. I'm not here to waste Wyatt Thompson's time. Why are we having Derek Young on and John Kurtz to preview that? If you guys get back into bowl contention, we're happy to spin the block on K-State football. Right now, hey, we've moved on as a show. I didn't want to move on, but Rob, we moved on to the show. We'll catch back up with you guys in a couple of weeks when you play KU. That game matters. Rob's going to be there. Rob's ready to storm the field. Rob, have you ever stormed the field at a KU football game?
I was a student, yeah, a couple times.
Okay, well, I'm telling you, get prepared, because if they beat K-State this year, they're running on the field. I don't care how bad K-State is this year. They're running on the field.
You're telling me they beat a 2-5 K-State team that students come on the field?
They need to absolutely run on the field.
That's fair.
And whatever fine you get, David Booth, hey, some of that money you got, pay for this. These kids have earned this. This program has earned this. Yes, we're running on the field. We're tearing down the goalposts, and we're partying at the hawk and the wheel, and we're going crazy. That's what needs to happen.
By the way, I'm sorry, K-State fans. I did push you to 2-5. I know you're not 2-5 yet.
They might be.
You got one game. You got TCU.
They're right around the corner from 2-5. And KU fan, I know we haven't talked enough about your game this week. And I say this with no disrespect. I think y'all about to get the brakes beat off y'all this weekend. I really do. I think you guys are about to get shmoked this weekend by Texas Tech. That's why we haven't spent any time talking about it. You guys have had a good season so far. You really have. You're 4-2. Win two more games. Let's get to this bowl game. Hey, I'm pulling for you guys. On the road at night against the best team in the Big 12, I think it might be parental discretion advised on this one.
I think it's homecoming in Lubbock, too.
I think they might beat the brakes off you. I really do. I think that's possible. So I really don't want you guys to think that we were hating this week. Like, oh, you only talked about Mizzou. Why haven't you talked about our team? K-State fan, there's no reason to talk about your team. And KU, if you guys were at home, we'd be talking because you guys possibly pull off the upset on the road at night for homecoming. Come on now. We got other things. We got other things to get to in the show. All right, in our 5 o'clock hour, we are going to get you ready for Sunday night football. We're also going to get you ready for Mizzou and Alabama. Missouri, their season starts tomorrow. I don't care what Missouri has done before this. I don't care about beating South Carolina. I don't care about beating Kansas. I don't care any of that. Their season starts tomorrow against Alabama. All right, Rob, let's start with this. Because I feel like we are in a circle of deja vu. everything that I said 2 weeks ago in relation to the Ravens, I now feel with the Lions. We are in the exact same place. This relationship has not grown. It has not taken the next step. At that point, you were looking to avoid 1-3 and go to 2-2. Now you were looking to avoid 2-4 or possibly going to 3-3. It is a massive difference. A massive difference in being 3-3 and 2-4. This is the analogy I'll make. I'm 37 years old. I don't consider myself to be old. I'm not unk. Not yet. I mean, unk is coming. I mean, it's right around the corner. But I don't think I'm unk yet. I'm also not young, and I know that. That's kind of where we are in the season. It is not early anymore, but it's also not late. It is week 6. We have seen a third of the games in the National Football League. Now, it is important to know that the Chiefs haven't had their best skill position player, so I do feel like a lot of the things that have happened, you were kind of grading on a curve. But in the same way back when we had class, you can still pass the course even if you get off to a slow start in the quarter. You got midterms to make it up. You got the final exam. Absolutely. You just create more work for yourself because you BS'd around the first couple of weeks of the semester. That's kind of where the Chiefs potentially are. If you go to 2-4, when Rashee Rice gets back, you got to do some work to be at 500 by the time you get to Buffalo. I'm kind of breaking this season down into quarters. The first quarter of the season is we got to make it until we get back our explosive players. You lost Xavier Worthy on the first possession of the season. You didn't have Rashee Rice because of the suspension. Those first four games were about, we just got to make do with what we got. Next man up. We're going to try to do this with defense. We're going to try to do this with Pat being special. That was the first 4 weeks of the season. October, to me, is ramping up to play Buffalo. The Buffalo game really, really matters. Nothing is off board for the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a game against the Colts later on in this season. They got a game against the Buffalo Bills later on in this season. So the division is not out of hand. The one seed is not out of hand. All of the things that the Chiefs set out to accomplish are still there. October, to me, is about the ramp up. It's time to get going. You then look at November. The Chiefs might have the toughest November of any team in the National Football League. In 4 straight weeks, they play at Buffalo, at Denver, home against the Colts, a game that we didn't really spend that much about. I'm guessing at the very beginning of the season, that was one of the easier tickets to get at Arrowhead. It was either that or the Titans game. I think the Titans game is at home. Maybe I'm off my schedule just a little bit. So the Colts game, and then you go on the road on Thanksgiving on a short week against Dallas. And Dallas, say what you want about Dallas. That team can score. That team can put up points. It's Thanksgiving. It's a who knows what could happen kind of game. So to me, this month is about, hey, let's put ourselves in a good situation so when we get to November, we are starting to play our best football. That starts with taking care of business on Sunday against the Detroit Lions and just not creating more work for yourself in the second portion of the season. Rob looked this up, and I think these stats are very important. Since the playoff expanded back in 2020, there have been 45 teams that have started 2-4. 45 teams or worse. 45 teams. 7 of those teams have made the postseason. Only 3 of those teams won their division. And one of the teams that won their division, they won it with a 10-7 record. Now, say what you want to say about Denver. Say what you want to say about the Chargers. One of those teams is winning more than 10 games this year. The Chiefs will likely still win more than 10 games this year. But you still got to think, in order to win a division, you got to think that you need to win 11 or 12 games in order to get there. And again, it just becomes harder the deeper and deeper we get into the season. And you are continuing to rack up losses. Another reason why this is important is I'm looking at the schedule for the Denver Broncos. If you want to play the schedule game, and that's perfectly fine, we can play it. I don't know if you can have a much easier schedule the next month of the season than the ones that the Broncos have. The Broncos play the Jets coming up in London. They play the Giants at home. The Giants are fun, but the Giants to me seem like a team that are going to give a lot of people fits at home and going to lose a lot of road games this year. They also play Dallas. That's also a home game. They go on the road and play Houston. And Houston, in my opinion, has been one of the 5 most disappointing teams in the league. So the Broncos really have an opportunity to really start to gobble up some wins. And by the time they play Kansas City, we could be talking about a team that's 8-3, that's 7-3, and that's playing really good football, playing with confidence. And it's a divisional game, and the Broncos have played Kansas City very tough over the last couple of years. So right now, my only message is just don't create more work for yourself. You put yourself behind the eight ball in the early portion of the season, but there is still more than enough time, an ample amount of time to get yourself out of that situation. But you got to take care of business at home in a home game against the Detroit Lions. I am really putting the responsibility of this game, I'm putting it on Chris Jones. We know that Detroit wants to run the football. And I know the stat about the Chiefs. They have gone, I think it's like 30-something games without letting a running back run for over 100 yards. One of the two guys on Detroit can, whether it's David Montgomery, whether it's Jahmyr Gibbs, they have the most explosive 1-2 punch of any team in the National Football League. They got two very strong, very dynamic backs. David Montgomery is more of the bruiser, and Jahmyr Gibbs might be the most talented running back in the National Football League. You also know with the Lions that they are a team that could throw it if necessary. Amon-Ra St. Brown's a guy that could have 100 yards. Jameson Williams is a guy that could have 100 yards. Sam Laporta is a guy that could have 8 catches for 70 yards in the middle of the field. And then everybody else kind of plays their position. I think the Lions are arguably the best team in the league. I will put Buffalo at number one. If you think it's the Lions, I'm not really going to fight you that hard on it based on what we've seen them do so far this year and the kind of offense that I think they have. But I think this is very, very important. You are talking about a team right now in Detroit that is super banged up. I mean, I'm looking right now at the injury report for them. I'm looking at who's going to be available and who's not going to be available. And I'm telling you right now, this is a team right now that is dealing with a lot of injuries. Their number one and number two corner are potentially out for this matchup. Their number one and number two safeties also out for this game. One of their linebackers also out for this game. So you're talking about a team right now that is super banged up. Sometimes it's not who you play, but sometimes it's when you play them. And I'm not sure right now if there is a better time to play the Lions than right now when they're completely wounded, when they're down two corners, when they're down a couple of safeties, when they're down a linebacker, when they're down a nickel corner. There's a chance that they could have four starters from their opening day lineup out in the secondary. So this is a situation you got to take advantage of. We have all applauded Kansas City's offense for turning the corner. I give their offense a lot of credit. Every portion of their offense is better than it was a month ago. They're getting better running back play than they got a month ago. They're better at wide receiver than they were a month ago. They're better up front on the offensive line. Well, this is a test, because if this game turns out to a shootout, I don't know if you had the bullets to keep up a month ago. I do think you have the bullets in this one to keep up with them. I do think the Chiefs can win a 28-24 game, a 31-28 game. And I think the Chiefs' offense is in a position where they can take advantage of the Detroit Lions, and they can score points against this defense right now that's a little bit banged up.
Let me ask you a question, because those stats combined with the Chiefs' opponent, I don't want to say this week is must-win, because I don't believe this week is must-win. But if you fall to 2-4, you start looking at every game as maybe a little must-win, and especially with the Broncos' schedule. At what point do you think, and I'm asking you maybe an impossible question, at what point do you think the average Chiefs fan might become alarmed? Because I would tell you that even after the loss to Jags, doing the show, our text line, social media was like, just wait. Just wait. We don't have Rashee Rice back. The offense starting to turn the corner. They'll tighten up. They're the Chiefs. We've talked about on the show, me and you, how the Chiefs are not judged by what they are doing or what they've done. They're judged by what everyone believes is going to happen in the future. Do you think, based on the Broncos schedule, the quality of opponent the Chiefs are playing, the way the Chiefs have been really playing, do you think eventually there's a tipping point of fans and they start to become a little more alarmed? Because even if the Chiefs win against the Lions and avoid 2-4 and go to 3-3, the Broncos are going to start gobbling them up, and the Bills aren't that far down the line, and the Bills have just looked better than the Chiefs this season. Now, there's a lot of time between now and then. Do you think there will be a moment where fans get alarmed, or is it just we're good, we're the Chiefs?
I mean, I think we're a long way from that. I would say the stretch around Thanksgiving. I mean, their final handful of games, they got a home game against the Colts. That's a game you got to win. That is a team that is going to be in it for the long haul, I think. Maybe you don't think they're good, but we've seen this before. We've seen the Titans a few years back go to the AFC Championship game. There's always that team in the AFC South that plays in a weak schedule that is able to just gobble up wins. I think that team this year is the Indianapolis Colts. You go on the road in Thanksgiving. You and I both know that's going to be the most watched regular season game possibly in the history of the National Football League. So it's going to have a lot of eyes, a lot of attention. I think that's when you start it. And then when you get back to December, I mean, the Chiefs, they have a stretch where they play Houston at home. Houston is not a good football team. They play the Chargers at home. That's a game that I'm guessing the Chiefs are going to have to win that game. You already lost the first game. We all expect this to be a tight divisional race. You're going to have to win the game at home against the Chargers. You got the Titans. I don't care where they play that game. It could be Kansas City, Tennessee, or the moon. You need to beat the Titans this season. You got the Broncos at home. Like, you play two important division games in 10 days, essentially, because of the short week to turn around with Christmas and everything. So, yeah, I would say Thanksgiving is when I think most Chiefs fans are going to start that conversation that you're having. When are we kind of over the first part of it, and now you're getting to these games matter. We expect to be playing our best games. We need to start ramping up and playing championship-level football. So I think we're 7-8 weeks away from that, and I think we're talking about the Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys. I want to play this audio for you guys to bounce around to college football here for a little bit, and we'll come back around for the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play this audio for you. This is Brandon Walker. He is with Barstool. He thinks this is the biggest Missouri game ever.
Missouri, this is a once in a generation type of opportunity. This is, we finally got our coach. We finally got everything. He's laid the foundation, and everything in the Drink era has led to this moment right here. They are undefeated. This is the biggest game. If you're an Alabama fan, this isn't the biggest game of the month. If you're a Missouri fan, this is the biggest game of your life.
All right. I don't want to get caught up on, is this the biggest game that Missouri has ever had? It's just, it's not close to me, in my opinion. But I do think some of the sentiment that he is explaining and describing, I think, is very, very important. I do think this is the most important game of the Eli Drinkwitz era. I do believe that Missouri as a program has been sort of ramping up and focused on this one. Missouri has done a very good job over the last 3 years, I would say in three very important categories. They have recruited very well out of high school and been very competitive nationally. They have been very competitive in the transfer portal. I'm assuming that Bo Prabula, I'm assuming he wasn't cheap. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess he wasn't cheap in the transfer portal. So they've done great when it comes to high school. They've done really, really good, I think, when it's come to the transfer portal. I think they've been really good with NIL and very, very competitive. And if you can get all those things to align and you have invested in the football program, they got construction going on right now. Eli Drinkwitz is the 10th highest paid coach in college football. Missouri has shown a commitment to the football program. They have given their head coach everything he needs to win a game like this. I think the one knock, and I use knock very, very lightly on Eli Drinkwitz, is he doesn't have this in his resume. They don't have one of these wins since he's been the head coach at Missouri. Now, it took time. Pinkel didn't get those. Pinkel did not get those wins until 2007. I guess maybe you could say Nebraska when they finally beat Nebraska, and that was a long time coming. But it took Pinkel a little bit to get those wins. That's kind of where Eli Drinkwitz is right now. He doesn't have a win against Georgia. Doesn't have a win against A&M, doesn't have a win against Ole Miss. He beat LSU, but that was the weird COVID season back in 2020. Doesn't have a win against Alabama. He doesn't have one of those marquee wins. What's the biggest win you would say of the Eli Drinkwitz era? Is it the 60-something-yard field goal against K-State? Is it the last-second fourth-quarter win against Florida? Like, I'm just trying to think of what people would deem as the most important, the biggest win in the Eli Drinkwitz era. That will no longer be a question if they win this game. And last season, when they had a couple of games like this, and they had games like this, they got shamoked in these games. They got embarrassed by Texas A&M last season. They got embarrassed by Alabama last season. They were not competitive in either one of those games. If Eli Drinkwitz is the coach that I think he can potentially be and has built the program that Missouri appears to be, taking care of business at home against Alabama is a natural step and progression. The same way that it was for Pinkel, the same way that it is for a lot of great coaches. if Missouri is serious about being competitive in the SEC and being a playoff caliber team, you got to figure out a way to win this game.
I agree with that last part. I agree with you. I don't want to get into a whole debate about what Eli's best wins are at Mizzou. Like maybe the bowl game against Ohio State, I would say. Maybe the Cotton Bowl, that pushed him to 10 wins. But there's no point in getting that argument. This is not the biggest game in Mizzou history, all those things. I think this, though, and Gabe DeArmond was on the show yesterday. You can catch it on the podcast page. He made this point, and I think it's perfect for Mizzou for this season for the college football playoff. Mizzou has five really difficult games remaining on their schedule. They have this one this weekend against Alabama. I know Alabama's not Nick Saban's Alabama. Make no mistake, despite their week one loss, Alabama still looks like Alabama. You have Alabama, you have Vanderbilt, which is crazy to say just as a college football fan. Talk about the Lions bouncing back. Vanderbilt's on this list. You have at Auburn, you have at Oklahoma, and you have A&M. Like, there are five really difficult games in this schedule. And Gabe's point yesterday on the show was, if you lose against Alabama, you basically make it impossible for yourself to make the playoff because you have to go 4-1 in those other games, and you might need some help because 10-2 in the SEC, there might be a couple 10-2 teams in the SEC. Your resume is lacking that umph win at that point. If you win this one, you give yourself grace. You can now go 3-2, or I guess 2-2 in the rest of those games because you would have beaten Bama. If you do have a loss to A&M and Oklahoma, but you beat Bama, your resume looks light years different because we know with the new system, it's not go undefeated or you don't make it. You can be last year's Tennessee team that went 10-2 and made the college football playoff. But you know what Tennessee did last year? They had marquee wins. They had marquee moments on their path to the playoff. A marquee win, no offense to Vanderbilt, is not Vanderbilt on the road. A marquee win is Bama at home. So the path to the playoff starts with a win on Saturday, or it's playing near perfect down the stretch against a very difficult SEC schedule.
Very simply put, there has never been more grace in college football to get to the end result. There's never been more grace. In every version of college football before last season, if you lose one time, that potentially ends your season. And that was part of the intrigue, excitement of the regular season. Now I think it's, can you be a part of this very special club? These games matter, the playoff games. The rest of the games don't matter, and only your fan base cares about it. Nobody else cares about the Music City Bowl or the Sun Bowl or whatever bowl these kids are going to these days. The kids don't care. No one cares. If Missouri wants to be the program, again, that I think they can be. If you look at how they've spent money in NIL, how much they spend on their coach, how much money is coming into the program, you can be a 10-2 team that makes the college football playoff. They've done that three times over the last 15 years. We just didn't have that system of how we determine how you compete for a national championship. You got to go 10-2 this season. You have a five-game stretch against Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Texas A&M, and Oklahoma. If you go 3-2 in that stretch and don't fall over yourself in the other two games, I believe Missouri will be in the college football playoff. That's the focus. So if you think this is the biggest game Missouri's ever had, that's perfectly fine. Then next week is even bigger. Then in 2 weeks against Vanderbilt on the road is even bigger. These five games, as of now, have all the equal importance to me. You got to figure out a way to win them. Now, they'll change as you get there. If Missouri has two losses and you're on the road against Oklahoma, that is a playoff game then at that point. You cannot lose this game. If you lose, your season is over theoretically, and get ready to go to the Pop-Tart Bowl for all I care. It doesn't matter. So, yes, this is a very, very important weekend. Where I give Missouri a chance to win this game is, I always thought the difference between Missouri and the upper echelon teams in college football came down to the line of scrimmage. Missouri has had a lot of good quarterbacks, a lot of good running backs, a lot of good wide receivers. Where they have struggled is on the offensive and defensive line against the marquee teams in college football. They have a running game and an offensive line that I think can compete. They have a defensive line and a defense that I think can compete against Alabama. If Florida State can beat this Alabama team, Missouri can beat this Alabama team. They have played two very grueling SEC matchups. Missouri has played kind of cupcakes over the last couple of weeks, and they also had a bye week. So Missouri is coming in fresh. Alabama's coming in a little bit wounded off these last couple of games. This is as good of a time as ever to get that marquee win against a marquee program like Alabama. Coming up on the other side, we had Devin McCourty join us on the show. He is with NBC Sports and Football Night in America. We'll play the best of that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Watch the show on YouTube by subscribing to the 965 YouTube channel. The Drive brought to you by DM Entry Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Entry Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 965, The Fan.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different, good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Really happy to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Red Friday. Earlier today, we had Devin McCourty on the show. You are going to see him Sunday on Football Night in America. And we asked him, as a former player and now as an analyst, how crazy is it to see the Lions go from where they were to where they are now?
So true. And I've been one of those guys that each time the Lions were getting in these big moments, I'm like, all right, they're going to fall here. They're going to fall. And again, but they have a team that's built around their head coach and his mentality. And he's brought that mentality. And I would say it sticks out for a guy like Jared Goff. You know, he's in L.A., he's on the Rams, having great success. We played against him in the Super Bowl, but he morphs into this different guy under Dan Campbell and how he energizes him and how he goes out there and leads the team. They're fun to watch. And I think for Kansas City, this is a type of matchup coming off that Monday night game. Now a short week. The game ends in a weird way where Chris Jones stops on the play, one of your best players, and Harrison Bunker kicks the ball out of bounds. Two of your better players end up in key moments where they usually deliver. They don't. So now you're like, all right, we got to just get our feet back under us, get going. Oh, yeah, now you got to deal with the Detroit Lions, who's not going to stick their toe in the water to start this game. They're going to come out swinging, throwing haymakers, and if they feel like they got Kansas City in a vulnerable situation, they're going to try to bury him. And I think for Kansas City, this is the kind of test you want. You want to see where exactly you're at, and then in a week you'll get Rashee Rice back, and hopefully I think they'll be thinking, now it's time to start rolling these victories and start feeling like ourselves.
Right now we're talking to Devin McCourty of NBC Sports Football Night in America. This feels like such an important swing game for the Chiefs. Not that you're going to bury the Chiefs if they lose this game, But there is a massive difference in being 3-3 when you get Rashee Rice back for next week against the Raiders and being down 2-4. We mentioned the parity in the AFC. Also, in the division that Kansas City's in, this is as strong of an AFC West that I think there's been during Patrick Mahomes' career. This is a very important home swing game for the Chiefs.
Yes, you're trying to play your best ball at the end of the season. It's key to pick up the wins along the way. And you don't want to be in the hole 2-4. I remember 2021, we got to 2-4. We ended up making the playoffs, but every game kind of turned into a must-win. And then at the end of the season, when you don't win a game that you feel like you should, it feels like this ultimate letdown because now you're looking at where you fall in the conference. All right, now we're a wild card team. We're a game out. We're this, we're that. You kind of want to be in a situation which Kansas City has lived in where all you're really fighting for is home field advantage, and you feel good each week. So I do. I think it's an important game, not only in the standings, but I think mentally for them as a team to know, all right, we didn't play our best ball, but we still played at 500. Now we're getting a weapon back that's going to make us even better. That's just a better feeling about yourselves, and it gives you the confidence if you walk away and we say, hey, we just took on the best team, the best they have to offer in the NFC right now, and we handled them and beat them, and we're not even at our best. I think that's what they're looking for to go into that next week and get Rashee Rice back.
You mentioned Chris Jones earlier, and that was a big talking point here in Kansas City, is about the effort on that final play. That's why I'm kind of looking to him in this matchup. I don't think the Chiefs win this game, not with the various weapons that the Lions have on offense, if you don't get a great version of Chris Jones. You don't need some 3-sack, 2 forced fumbles performance, but you need him to be in the middle of almost everything you do defensively against a team that can run it as effectively as the Lions do, and also a quarterback that could throw for 300 yards if necessary.
Yeah, I think for him and his defense as a whole, this offense is starting to click. Now it's time to get those big stops. It's time to get those turnovers and takeaways to kind of change how these games are being played. You don't want to play every single game comes down to a third down or a fourth down. You want to try to be able to end the game with the ball in your hands, victory formation. So I think the hard thing for me right now when I look at the Chiefs is you look at week one, you lose to the Chargers. You can argue Chris Jones is probably supposed to stay outside. Maybe they stop Justin Herbert. They have to punt to Mahomes. They go and get the winning drive. Then you lose to the Eagles on a play with Kelce and Mahomes. Maybe Kelce doesn't get his head around. Maybe Mahomes throws early. I don't know. But it turns into a big interception. Then you have the Chris Jones. We've never really seen this Chiefs team where their best players end up in the key moments not coming through. We're just so used to saying, oh, well, Kelce makes a big play. Oh, Chris Jones with a big pressure or sack that ends the game. So I think they mentally got to get that out of their heads and just go play. Every year in this league, you got to redefine who you are and kind of put a stamp on your presence. But when you're the Eagles and when you're the Chiefs, every week you're getting a team's best shot. They want to see where they fall and where they are in the rest of the league, and you are the litmus test. They know playing against you and beating you means they've arrived, so you have to be prepared for that each week.
I want to get your thoughts on the Detroit Lions. Let's focus in on the offense. Really, really impressive. They can do just about everything. They run the ball as effectively as everybody. They throw the ball as well as any team in the league. I feel like all offseason, we all wanted to see what that offense was going to look like, minus Ben Johnson. And I think they've answered that question. This is still, in my opinion, the most explosive offense in the league.
Yeah, I think one thing we all forgot about was Dan Campbell by nature. He's an offensive mind. You know, he played tight end in the NFL. I think he was very up on what Ben Johnson was doing. So I think he is a little bit of what's left from that offense. Everyone was like, man, Ben Johnson left. He took assistant coaches with him and all of these things. And we kind of forgot, like, man, Dan Campbell's still there. He's still going to be a part of this situation. And what's so hard about the offense, they make you prepare for a lot of different things. They're going to have two tight end sets out there. Then they're going to go out there with Khalif Raymond usually in the slot, and we'll have to see where his health is at for this week, but he's in the slot. That's a different type of third receiver. Then Tesla is going to come in, a bigger third receiver, and they're going to make you prepare for Montgomery being in the backfield, then Gibbs being in the backfield, then Gibbs kind of being that receiver. So when you go into the week, you're like, man, this is a lot to prepare for. We got to know when each guy's in this position and that position, and when you have to prepare for so many different things, you don't always get to master one thing or another thing. And then Detroit has the versatility to to come in and focus and be kind of primarily in different sets that you won't know until the game gets going. So it's a lot to prepare for. But Spagnuolo is the type of coordinator that I think as a defense, you go in there confident that he'll have a game plan and be able to stop him a little bit.
I thought Aiden Hutchinson had a chance to win Defensive Player of the Year last year before the injury. I think you're seeing a pass rusher who is really starting to figure a lot of things out. He had the big force fumble earlier in the season against the Baltimore Ravens where he punched the ball out on Derrick Henry. I'm looking at this on the other side, too. This Kansas City offensive line has really performed very well the last couple of weeks. They got a big-time test against a big-time player here coming up on Sunday night.
Yeah, I've loved when Kelvin Shepherd hasn't just given the offense what exactly they're in, and they disguise or they jump into a different zone. So I think when they do that, they give these pass rushers like Aiden Hutchinson, they give them an extra second and a half to get home. And you see in the Baltimore game, they started out heavily in man-to-man. Baltimore had some drives. Then they started switching up, getting in different zones. Lamar Jackson then had to hold the ball, and when he held the ball, you saw Hutchinson, you saw Muhammad, you saw different guys getting to him and making it hard. And I think Mahomes falls into that category as well. Like, if you just go out there and you give him a look and he knows what it is, he's going to have a field day. So I look for Detroit to try to be multiple, be in different sets, especially if there's no Terrion Arnold. DJ Reed's already out. You go into a game without your two top corners, it makes it a little harder. And I think they're going to have to be, you know, versatile and multiple in so many different formations, man-to-man, zone, three-man rushes, four-man. I think they're going to have to keep mixing it up and not just give it to Mahomes and make it hard, similar to the play we saw last week in the goal line that Jacksonville did when they jumped out of a blitz zero. Mahomes didn't catch it in time and end up with a pick six.
That was Devin McCourty of Sunday Night Football joining us on the show, getting you ready for Chiefs and Lions. Coming up on the other side, we'll get to the top storylines of another week in the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
This is Wyatt Thompson from K-State, and you're listening to The Drive with CDOT right here on 96.5 The Fan and the Odyssey app.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here with you on this wonderful, wonderful Red Friday. Before we sign off for the day, let's get you ready for week six in the NFL. Before we get to it, I want to point out one thing. The check engine light has been coming on for the Philadelphia Eagles for quite some time. I would say one of the mistakes that we make as sports fans is, well, they won. But I'm watching the games. It didn't feel right with the Eagles. It hasn't felt right with the Eagles. Honestly, it hasn't felt right since the rain delay in week one, the opening night of the National Football League. It's felt off ever since then. A.J. Brown, they're having meetings. I didn't need the losses to tell me something was going on. I see that something is going wrong. So, I mean, the Eagles got a couple extra days to think about it and have more powwows and have more meetings, but something's off. Something is broken right now with that team. We spent all summer arguing if Jalen Hurts was the fifth best quarterback in the league, he might be the fifth best quarterback in his own division. They stink right now. They're not efficient offensively at all. What's their identity? Other than the tush push, I don't know what their identity is right now. Saquon's not going crazy. The wide receivers are unhappy. Jalen Hurts, he talks like ChatGPT in press conferences. I mean, just it ain't looking good right now for the Philadelphia Eagles. All right, let's get to some week six storylines.
Carrington, let's start with everyone's favorite storyline, which, of course, the MVP, because they give out that award on the 12th of October. But who do you have as the early favorite? Because this year, your usual suspects are not your usual suspects, with Mahomes not currently playing at MVP rate. Josh Allen is, but back-to-back is very difficult, and Lamar Jackson is on the sideline. Who do you have right now as the favorite for the MVP award in the NFL?
That's a great question. It's funny because last year, I don't think that Josh Allen should have got the award. I think right now he's the favorite. Number two might surprise you. I think right now Baker Mayfield is very seriously in the conversation for NFL MVP. He has gotten off to a fantastic start. Now, obviously, we have a long way to go in this thing, but if we had determined that only a quarterback can win the award, and right now I'm kind of struggling to find another player, maybe you would argue Jonathan Taylor, but it's early on in the season. I'm not here ready to bang that drum quite yet for Jonathan Taylor. I think right now the NFL MVP has been Josh Allen.
You have Josh Allen repeating? Really? The repeat? I mean, I guess maybe
right now, based on how the season's played out so far, I mean, you're right, we're not giving out the MVP award yet, but I mean, Josh Allen, I think, has proven that so far in the regular season, I think Josh Allen has been the best player in the regular season. I do think that.
Is that with his regular play, or are you including the fact that there's a higher threshold for back-to-back?
His play this season.
Okay.
Yeah, his play this season.
That's fair.
I'm still open.
I actually think the answer is Baker Mayfield, by the way.
Yeah, but I'm not against Baker. I'd have Baker at number two.
Speaking of quarterback in the NFL, one of the biggest storylines from Sunday involves an old quarterback, and that's Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco is back to starting this week. He will start for the Cincinnati Bengals, who have been in desperate need of just competent quarterback play. Do you believe the ageless wonder will give a jolt in the arm to the Bengals offense, or is their season done?
What's that Ariana song? Thank you, next. Let's move on. I'm not spending time in my day talking about Joe Flacco playing quarterback for any other teams. We've done that enough in our lives. I know what he is. He can't move. And in 2025, if you can't move, you can't play quarterback in the National Football League.
He was a Super Bowl champion, Carrington. He can't be worse than Jake Browning. He can't.
He has
the athleticism. Despite what someone says in our group text, Jake Browning stinks.
He has the athleticism of a toddler learning to walk. That's the athleticism he has.
All right, Karen, let's hit the actual football games this weekend because, I mean, there aren't a lot of good ones outside of the Chiefs, but let's talk about one that features two teams that we both prominently put into the I don't know category yesterday on the show. We have Seattle taking on the Jaguars in what I will claim is the I don't know bowl. Who do you think walks out with the victory and now we claim they are good between the Seahawks and Jags?
That is a great question. You know what? I am going to take Jacksonville to win that game. I feel like I'm taking them largely because they're at home, but I will say if there is a place for a just a letdown spot. It is this home game against Jacksonville. You had a very emotional Monday Night Football win, and now you got another good team in Seattle. They're a slight favorite at a 1.5-point favorite. Yeah, I'm going to take Jacksonville. I'm going to take them with the plus money at home. I'm going to take the Jacksonville Jaguars to keep things rolling.
On to the, I think, second best. It depends on where you put Chiefs Lions at. But it's one of the best games, if not the best game of the weekend. I'm, of course, talking about Niners and Bucks, Carrington.
I don't think there's any question that's the second best game this weekend in the National Football.
This is why I paused. We think that's the best game or the second best game? Because record alone, that would be the best game.
The only reason I'm going to argue that it's not the best game is because of the injuries right now to Tampa Bay. No Mike Evans, no Chris Godwin, so the game doesn't have as much shine
Brock
on
Purdy's
it.
Brock Purdy still.
So, yeah, I would say Sunday Night Football is the best game that we have this week, at least on this slate. I actually think the Monday Night slate is great this week. Buffalo at Atlanta, Chicago at Washington. Those are two good games.
Who do you got between Bucks and Niners? That is the, I guess you won't be seeing this game because you'll be out at Arrowhead. But that is the appetizer before Chiefs and Lions. And what could be the second best team, if not the best team in the NFC, is at stake behind Detroit. Now that you open this, I'm talking about how Philadelphia is on shaky ground.
I'm going to be watching that game because I'm not coming to your tailgate if that game's not on the screen. You think I'm going to a tailgate in 2025 that ain't got the TV present? Need the TV present. There's a couple of things I need. You got the good drinks, the cold, ice cold beverages. You got a little bags. You got a football. What kind of food are we eating? Am I just eating hot dogs or do you got a real spread? If you got a real spread, then invite me and I'm there.
Who you got? Niners, Bucks.
Niners go on the road and get the upset.
Wow.
Niners on the road.
Mac Jones.
Yeah. I don't know who Brock Purdy. I was struggling with that one. Brock Purdy is a little bit banged up, and Mac Jones is questionable for this one. So I don't know. They got Steve Young will be playing quarterback for them. Who are they going to have? Jeff Garcia?
By the way, I just want to mention
Tim Rattay. Do you remember Tim Rattay?
Tim Rattay. I just want to mention that before we sign out of here, I do want to mention that we forgot to do this earlier. I'll mention it here. 5 o'clock hours brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Shout out to Baker University, man. I'm going to a Baker basketball game this year. You coming to a Baker basketball game?
I'll go to a Baker basketball game. You know what? Baker football could beat K-State.
You said that. I didn't say that. All right. I look forward to seeing you potentially out at Arrowhead. It's the first time I've been to Arrowhead in a very, very long time. I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Mizzou, Alabama. I'm just looking forward for a great weekend in football and can't wait to talk to you guys about it coming up next week. Take care of yourself. And until then, you know what? I'll let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
The Toyota Tundra and Tacoma are designed to outlast and outlive, backed by Toyota's legendary reputation for reliability. So get in a Tundra with the available iForce Max hybrid engine, delivering exceptional torque and towing capacity. Or check out a Tacoma. With available off-road features like crawl control, it can take you beyond the trails. Toyota trucks are built to last, so don't wait. Get yours today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.